You're tuned into Food for Thought. If you would like to view this message, search Active TV on YouTube.
Trade is passionate about mobility and solutions that make a difference in your business. From mobile sales and sales management to van sales and proof of delivery. For a demo, call RapidTrade at 011-493-9755. RapidTrade, ahead of the game.
Nations, change my situation, live a life purposefully. Jesus goes before me, He'll never forsake me, the Holy Spirit willing to see. My God can change nations, change my situation, live a life purposefully. Jesus goes before me, He'll never forsake me, the Holy Spirit willing to see. Revival, movement supernatural, salvation fulfilling God's dream. The church is getting bigger, the Holy Spirit power is breaking out now as we speak. We're witnessing revival, movement supernatural, salvation fulfilling God's dream. The church is getting bigger, the Holy Spirit power is breaking out now as we speak.
Change.
capable of anything, more powerful than all. Immortal, just loving King, my Lord. Firstborn from the dead, first place in everything. You're the beginning and the end. Supreme in strength, your glory has no end. Before all things, in all things we created hope. Holds everything together, yeah. Rich in glory, rich in love. Victor, a word you'll never know, defeat my lifter. All glory is yours, perfect restorer, seated on the throne, full of wisdom, our Savior has risen.
Continuing with the series Your Kingdom Come, and obviously when the kingdom of God comes into your life, you become a leader. And if you start leading somewhere along the line, when you've been leading for long enough, you'll face the question, what do you do when Judas is in the house? Now, I know Lady Gaga likes Judas, But other than Lady Gaga, you know, not too many people like Judas. And you know, maybe if you're a woman, what do you do when Judith? You get it? Judith is in the house. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you are like very slow here this morning. But just to remind you, Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image according to our likeness, not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth." So if it creeps and crawls, it shouldn't give you the creeps because you have authority. If that mozzie comes into your room at night, you should have authority. If that thing bites you, it's a reflection of the fact that you do not have authority, which means you are not a leader. You are malfunctioning. And so we've looked at management and what it means to manage and all that sort of stuff. But in order to be the kind of manager that God wants you to have, means you don't have a job, you have work. And then you're in authority, and people in authority cast vision. And what we looked at with this is, how do you cast vision? When you cast in vision, there must be clarity. It must be clear, because people can't do it if they can't understand what you're saying. And it must be compelling. It must be all over you. You must be filling that room with a sense of excitement. And when it's compelling, then other people get on board. They see what you see. And then you must collect commitment. If you don't collect commitment, people don't do anything and they don't change. And then you build community, one person at a time, one by one. And we went on last week and we looked at the parable of the sower and what the parable of the sower means. And if you want to lead people, you've then got to study them. And people in the parable of the sower are the ground. And you've got to study the ground. You've got to study people. You've got to know the ground. You've got to know people. And then you've got to invest in the right ground. Too many people in their lives are investing in the wrong ground because they aren't leaders. And you're either a leader or a bleeder. You're either leading or bleeding. And you're bleeding because you're getting hurt all the time. Right, leaders are tough. They've got a tough skin and a soft heart. Bleeders are soft. They've got a soft skin and a hard heart. So which one are you? Have you got a soft heart and a tough skin, which means not much gets through? Or have you got a hard heart and a soft skin? Someone walks past you and the wind, as they walk past you, touches you, and now you develop a bruise. Some of you get upset because someone walks into the room and you look at them and you go, "Oh, I'm so offended. Why, they looked at me funny." Where's this "they looked at me funny" come from? How weak must you be that someone looks at you and now you're offended? Someone looks at you and now you're like falling apart. It's like walking across the stage and you can't function. And you understand what I'm saying? It's just all like collapsing around you. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, well, what is with that? They looked at me funny. Now, 3 years later, I got unforgiveness because of that look. Because I was so hurt. Eh? How could you look at me like that? You understand? That is how people are talking all the time. And so, leaders don't do that. Leaders build teams and they build community. And they know people. They know who to invest in. But now we move on. You know, if you start building a team, somewhere along the line, you're going to start facing problems. And Jesus spoke about these problems in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to 30, where it says Jesus told them another parable. And why does Jesus tell parables? He doesn't tell parables to tell the truth. He tells parables to hide the truth. Only disciples know the truth. Okay, the parable hides the truth from everyone but the disciples. And so he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" You know, can you see the servants go, sir, you only sowed wheat, but there's weeds. What are we gonna do? Hey? Like some of you when you start dating. And then you have your first fight. FF. You have your FF, your first fight. And all of a sudden, it's not supposed to be like this. No, it wasn't. But then you were in the relationship. So now it is like that. So now, you know, you understand what I'm saying. Just like deal with it. And so the servants are like that. And they're like, you know, they're all like freaking out. And they don't know what they're going to do. And then it goes on and it says, an enemy did this, he replied. Guys, relax. An enemy did this. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? You know, we want to solve everything. Whenever we got a problem and an enemy comes and sows weeds in our lives, we want to cut people off. We just want to write them off. Oh. Speak to the hand. Listen, if you don't like me, build a bridge. Get over it. I'm not interested. Like, who do you think you are? Listen, what you think of me doesn't matter, okay? I really don't care. I am who I am. And I will be who I will be. And you must just accept it. And if you don't like it, lump it and go live in Cape Town. That's what the servants are doing now. You see that? And no, he answered. Because while you're pulling out the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burnt, and then gather up the wheat to be brought into my barn. So, as before, Jesus is telling a parable to hide the truth, and you think he's talking about gardening or farming. The parables are for the crowd. The crowd saying, oh, what a wonderful story. But now the disciples come afterwards and they ask for the parable to be explained. They wanted to come out from under the parable. So we see in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 15, it says, then he left the crowd and went into the house. Notice when he explains the parables, it's when he's left the crowd. He left the crowd and went into his house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. It's bugging them. Jesus, you're the Son of God. Why are you talking about farming and gardening? Why are you talking about weeds and wheat? You know, we thought you'd speak about temples and incense and all things spiritual. He answered in verse 37, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. So Jesus comes and he sows the good seed. Okay, if you're sitting in the church and your heart is with Jesus, you are the good seed. So the Son of Man, if you're the good seed, he sowed you into the church. And then it says, the field is the world. So the field is the world. So you realize you live in the world. You do realize that, hey? In other words, let me rephrase it. You live on earth. So that is the world. Okay, the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. So the kingdom of heaven come to earth, the sons of the kingdom, and that includes daughters. And then it goes on, it says, the weeds are the sons of the evil one. You're either the son of the kingdom, you're either a son or a daughter of God, or you're a son of the or daughter of the devil. So when you say, I'm a good person, I should get into heaven without Jesus, no, you're a son of the devil or a daughter of the devil. That's what Jesus says. It's not me. I'm just quoting him. And then it says, and the enemy sows, who sows them is the devil. So the devil sows his weeds into the world. And then it goes on, it says, the harvest is the end of the age. In other words, the end of time, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burnt in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Now, I know hell's not a popular concept in the 21st century. But yeah, Jesus himself says, at the end of the age, he will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom, out of his kingdom. Remember, it's his kingdom. It's not a democracy. It's not his democracy. It's not his republic. It's his kingdom. He will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Listen, Jesus is not going and looking and doing an opinion poll to find out whether he's popular with all the people because he needs your vote in order to keep him in power. You know, our politicians sitting in parliament, they do opinion polls to think, what political position must I take to get people to vote for me so I can stay here? Because this is a cushy job. and I can sit in this comfy seat in Parliament and I can fall asleep and they can pay me a whole lot of money for talking. And I do nothing. All I do is talk. You see, that's our members of Parliament. They need our vote, so they're interested in what most of us think. Jesus, it doesn't matter. Because one day he's going to send out the angels and either you're a son of the kingdom or you're a son of the evil one, and he's going to weed out everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then, listen to this. Some of you have heard me quote this before. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus is saying, listen guys, there's a life after this life. And you're either going to be a son of the kingdom or you're going to be a son of the evil one. And if you're a son of the evil one, everything that causes sin and all who do evil will be weeded out. How do you become a person who doesn't do evil? You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the blood of Jesus has washed you clean and has removed all your sin from you, and you get judged by what Jesus did. So we build teams to expand the kingdom. By the way, that should also tell you why you need to tell everyone that doesn't know Jesus about Jesus. And you need to give them the opportunity to be saved. Because otherwise there's going to be serious problems for them in eternity. Now, when you build teams, because to get the message of Jesus out, you've got to do what Jesus did. He built teams. And when you build those teams, you find that the enemy is at work. And so the enemy is at work. And somewhere along the line, you'll have a situation where Judas comes into that team that you're building. And so how do you handle it when Judas is in the house? How do you handle it? Well, I want to tell you, you do it by building the team with God's design. The way God designed it. And I want to just give you some traits of a successful leader. You see, in order to build a team and to overcome when Judas comes along, or to overcome all the challenges, because even the people who aren't Judas have got weaknesses and they cause all sorts of hassles. They cause all sorts of nonsense. Even the best person that you build into, the best follower, the best disciple of yours will cause you nonsense. You will have to forgive them. And so how do you become a successful leader? Because a successful leader pushes through all of that stuff and gets by no matter whether Judas is there or Judas is not there. And the first thing you need to understand is that the successful leader is a dreamer. And the dreams that the successful leader has have been given to them by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through dreams and visions. And what happens with the successful leader is that God opens their spiritual eyes so that they get extraordinary visions of what Almighty God wants to do. You see, the successful leader doesn't look at South Africa and complain. The successful leader looks at what God wants to make South Africa become and know that if they will allow themselves to be used as an instrument by Almighty God, that God will turn this whole nation on its head. And so God strengthens their faith so that they can carry out their dreams, because their dreams are His dreams. He strengthens them. He empowers them. But they have to live in the realm of faith and not in the realm of logic. You see, the kind of dreamer that God's talking about doesn't live by logic, they live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10:38 says, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. If you're not living by faith, God's not pleased with you. When last did you have to exercise your faith in order to do something that God's calling you to do? If you shrink back, that's what does not please God. It's not whether you got a nice nose, whether you spoke nicely to Tan Sunny when she gave you a nice cook sister. Not whether you're this perfect human being that is just shining with gold and just drips off you wherever you go. Every time you get up, the sun rises. Every time you go to sleep, the sun sets. That's not what's going to make God impressed or not impressed. That's not what's going to place you in a position where God is pleased with you or not. Are you shrinking back? Are you shrinking back in terms of your faith? What are you trusting God for? If you're trusting God for nothing, you're shrinking back. And I really want to challenge the active church, because that is the biggest problem in South Africa today, is that people don't have now kind of faith and they're shrinking back. There are so many churches, there are so many Christians, yet we're irrelevant on the national stage. You look at us in the media, we're irrelevant. Why? Because we shrink back. And when you step forward, the enemy will attack. When a leader has a dream of God, they receive such assurance in their heart that it is already achieved, that there's no place for doubt in their hearts. The second thing we see about a successful leader is that the successful leader is a person of faith. Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Now, understand something. The word of Christ, which is recorded in the Bible, the word of God is where you get your faith. The closer you are to the Word of God, the more faith you have. The Holy Spirit builds that faith on the inside of you. It's like something that grows on the inside of you. God grows it. God's the one who builds your faith when you engage with His Word. And faith that is born in the heart of a believer is more important to them than feelings. They're not judging things by their feelings. Feelings have nothing to do with it. Because faith connects us to the invisible spiritual realm. It connects us to a supernatural power that is available from Almighty God. It connects us to that place from where the real power comes. By faith, we can put aside our weaknesses. Our weaknesses can be shoved aside. Faith is about transforming the absurd into something logical. The one that is looked down on is turned into something that is useful and desirable. You see, when faith works through you, people that are seen as useless and nothing are turned into those which are useful and desirable. When by faith you build people up, others come and they want your people. You'll have the scenario where people will come to you and they don't want you, but they want your people. That's what God will do. Before God came into contact with them through you, they were seen by the world as rubbish. You transform them into a diamond. That's what happens by faith. People's lives are transformed. If we dare to believe, we will open up the heavens and cause the glory of God to descend on us and everyone that surrounds us. I want to tell you that when you are filled with the Spirit, that's why people like to be around you so much, because the glory of God descends where you are. The third thing we see about a successful leader is that the successful leader moves the spiritual realm when they speak. Romans 10 verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth. That is the word of faith we are preaching. Many people that are in the church think they have faith. But can I tell you how you know whether you have faith? It can be seen by your fruit. You see, if you have no fruit, you have no faith. It is important to understand that faith is spiritual, it's not intellectual. It's not about what you understand in your intellect. It's a spiritual thing. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Listen to me. If you don't have the Spirit, and if you're not being led by the Spirit, the things of faith, the things of the Word of God, the things of the Bible are foolishness to you. Repeating a Bible verse again and again and again doesn't build faith. Oh God, you are God. 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 That doesn't build faith. Some people think that by repeating, you build faith. In fact, if you go and look at all the faiths other than the gospel, they go repeat stuff. Will sound something, and there'll be smoke and there'll be this and that.
Get your tambourines now. Every knee, I surrender.
Hey, get a blaze by active worship today. Contact us for more info on www.activefm.co.za.
Thank you. Choose you. Ghost.